Hi, this is Steve here. Welcome to our first Q&A call for the Senior Executives in Transition sessions called Visible, Compete, and Vital. These is a phone call session, so the first few minutes, unfortunately, are not high quality because they're recorded through the phone. After that, I switched over to the local recording system, so then you'll be able to hear everything better. But it is all about you getting the next position and getting it as rapidly as possible while revitalizing your career. We're going to spend the first 20 minutes or so going through some new information that I think will be really helpful for you to enhance what our last session was about, which was the recruiter engagement. And so there's some new ideas in there. Again, I want to give you every opportunity that's possible for you to get that new position and get it rapidly. Well, enjoy the call.
Okay, hello everyone, and we are ready to rock and roll today, and this is our Q&A session, our first Q&A session, so the Visible, Compete, and Vital session on basically senior executives getting that next position and then revitalizing the career so that they stay in positions of high worth, high value that they contribute, and of course even high value for their own selves too. So welcome everyone to our first Q&A call. Alright, so let's go ahead and get started. What I want to talk about here now is the various affairs and things that are going on today that you need to do if you want to talk to recruiters. Well, the good recruiters are extremely busy. They are so busy that they tend to not even return messages and calls back to their friends. People who have, even in the past, gotten them work. I find that sometimes they don't return messages back to me for weeks and even months at a time. They're that busy. And you might ask, well, what the heck are they doing? Well, this, they are finding candidates and they are interviewing candidates. They may go through upwards of 50 candidates trying to get the right one in there. Because it is so difficult to get the exact demands of what the hiring managers are looking for today. They have this concept in the recruiter industry of a purple squirrel. And what they think is that everybody who wants to hire someone and puts out a job position, what they're really looking for is that impossible person who is the purple squirrel in their definition. And since we all know that there are no purple squirrels, well, how the heck are they going to find them? So they've got to convert them to that they either want the purple monster like Barney, or maybe they want the squirrel that's not purple. And so they've got to work with them until they find what it is. And it takes a while. And that usually means they have to go through quite a few candidates approach being purplish and of course they're squirrels in order to get to the point that they can come to some compromise. So a lot of work in finding candidates and interviewing those candidates and filtering those candidates with the various means that they do. They also have to spend even more time looking for the next assignment. And that's a lot of relationship building with their client base, and of course their client base are the companies, so they're always trying to get to new clients, new companies, new hiring managers, and then help them define what jobs that they can do a search for. And as you might expect, that they work with a particular company, not every job is going to go to the recruiter. These days many of the companies are working directly to bring in the next candidates, either through their internal networks or through their social media platform, or just because people like the company and they get lots of applications. So they try and do that on their own. And guess what? The recruiters may not get any money out of it, but they certainly sometimes have to assist in this because what they're doing is they're seeding for the really big assignments that they will get down the road when the company's unable to find something within their own resources. So they're pretty busy trying to service their existing clients, get new clients, define jobs that they can do recruiting for, and then finally, once they have that job, they're looking for an awful lot of candidates and filtering down through those candidates till they get to the one, two, or three that are appropriate for the job. And then, of course, you know where it goes from there. Now it's deeper research into those few candidates that are the finalists, and maybe even some negotiations with them, but certainly a lot of in-the-middle communications is what they're going to be doing. Excuse me. Okay, so if you recently joined us, please give a shout out here. We want to know that you're online, and so that we can have a great conversation with you. So it's easy to do that. Just jump in and say, I'm on. And we appreciate hearing from you. All right. So again, the idea I was talking about is that recruiters are pretty darn busy these days and they're hard to get to. So we need to open up a door to them in a way that gets you noticed without you becoming the pest, okay? Because we all know that a squirrel in many of our lives is a pest. You spend a lot of time, you may like a few running around your yard, but you sure as heck don't want them stealing your birdseed. So you end up having, and you don't want them in your attic either. I can vouch for that personally. So, you know, you don't want to become the pest. You want to become the actual purple squirrel so that they recognize you and say, I'm going to jump. This is the people I want to talk to. And sometimes, of course, you're the purple squirrel for the assignment they do not have yet. So they want to know where you are because they know you're down the road, you're going to be very valuable to them. But they quite frankly don't need to be talking to you every day because there's no value for them in the immediate future. So how do we do that? Well, we put out the sequence, which we call the irresistible sequence for recruiters. And I hope you're having pretty good luck with that. I want to hear the feedback that you have, and we'll talk about how you're able to start working the lines on that and what issues that you have so that we can address those. Everyone should be successful with it. So let's make a little bit of a change here in addition to what we talked about on the call last week or on the lesson last week. So that was how to get introduced when you have an introduction and how to kind of basically set up a marketing sequence. A campaign is what a marketer would call it, where you're actually addressing them over several weeks and then putting them into an ongoing every 2 weeks, kind of just reminding them that you're there. But anyway, that's the essence of the campaign. Fairly intensive at the beginning with a specific set of things that you want to do. But what happens if you have some recruiters you'd like to start having conversations with, but you do not have someone who can make the introduction to you? Wouldn't it be interesting also to find a way to speak to them? So let's address that. And there's a couple of ways to get to it. You know, first of all, you're probably going to find them through LinkedIn. Let's just say that's the way you find them. So if that is how you have found them, then, you know, by golly, go look, see if you've got any connections that can make that connection for you. Because why not, right? All right. If you don't have any luck in that area, you know, there's no reason why you cannot send them a direct message. I won't say most, but many recruiters these days are connected in what's called just went away from my head there. Okay, yeah, the in-mail, so that you can just directly send to them, a direct link, and it's easy to get to. You don't need to go through any introductions, okay? Well, you can do that yourself anyway, and because it's not very expensive. It's a buck or two. You can get an in-mail option. You can basically buy them one or two or five of at a time, and you can send those directly to them through the LinkedIn system. If you don't have an email that you can send, because you may be able to find their email also out there through a variety of methods. Let me grab a little bit of coffee there, sorry. Okay, so, one second here. I think one of our people are calling in, saying they want to know what's happening. Okay. You know, when you run operations on your own, frequently you've got to also deal with all of the input stuff, especially when you're doing a live call, because there are people that need instructions right at the last minute as we're bringing you on in. Okay, so yeah, so what we're talking about is can you get to them through LinkedIn? Yes, you can use the in-mail system. I have found that I also will invite someone to connect with me, okay? And that's the method I use. It's free. You don't need to send an in-mail. It has an advantage, is that if they see this, you know, it is an invitation, and now you've connected with them through the LinkedIn. So you don't have to do that step later down the road. You've actually made that connection up early. Are there some disadvantages to using the invite to connect? Absolutely. You have to be smart about it. So one of the first things you need to do is recognize that you can't use the generic code or words that LinkedIn says that somebody, I want to connect with you. No, you've got to erase all of that and then put in your own message. Now, here's the other advantage. Advantage and disadvantage. The advantage is you get to put in exactly what you want to say, something that can move them forward.
The disadvantage is that it's a very limited number of characters. So with that, it's got to be a very short message. The second disadvantage is that it does not allow you to put in an email address or a web address. So it will filter those out. Now, so what do I do? Well, first of all, getting the advantage of the connection, so they can just reply directly. They don't need your email. Okay, they can just use the reply and it'll come back through the LinkedIn system. The second thing is that I do put in an email, and you know, most people are pretty smart. They recognize an email when they see it, but the computer at LinkedIn doesn't. If you pull one little trick, I take out the at sign and I take out the period. So, you know, the .com on the period, I just leave a space there, and then where the at sign should be, I just leave a space. And, you know, these are humans that are reading it. They can, you know, when they see the Yahoo space com or Gmail space com, they pretty much know that's an email address. And no, they can't click on it, but they know what it is if they want to use it. What they're going to do if they want to reply to you is they're just going to hit reply and come back through the LinkedIn system anyway. No problem sticking in a phone number. So you can get two of your pieces in there, and you've got maybe four short sentences that you can say to do some enticement. So let's talk about what the message could be. Well, I sure like to talk about a paying forward. That if you're going to try and get their attention early on, you can pay forward with sending them something. In this point, a little different from the sequence that we talked about before, I would like you to open up with something that is your content. Go ahead and send them something saying, hey, I've written this. I think this might be useful for you. Helpful for you, something that will help you in your search for your next candidate or for you to understand the industry better. You get the idea? Something that you've written that you can then bop in and send them, and then send them a link as to how they can get to it. So if you put it up on your blog, well, we haven't got to that yet, but just recognize that there's ways you can get to them. So it could be a blog, could be an article site, but something that's your content could be, well, there's just all sorts of ways that we're going to be getting to next week on producing and where to store your content for your own articles and your own thoughts. Okay, but that's what I recommend. Just start sending them something that's helpful for them. Now, if you've got their email, this is no problem. You can attach a short article if you want. And then, of course, I've also talked about how you don't send your resume. But now we're kind of opening a door with someone and paying it forward. So I would be okay with attaching a PDF in there. You know, you've got a chance that they will open a PDF. You've also got a chance that they won't, but again, this is total cold calling on a new recruiter, so can't expect everything to work, but it is something that's going to work better than not doing something with them. So I call that the pay it forward, where you're giving them some content. The other way of doing this is to take the advantage of what connections you do have. Okay, so let's say John, Bill, and Samantha all have connections between you and this recruiter you're interested in. So that in theory means that John, Bill, and Samantha know them and know you to some extent. You know, there is no reason why you cannot send, once again, through the invitation system or in mail if you wish, but just saying, look, I'd like to invite you. I see that John, Bill, and Samantha are both connected with us. I have a lot of respect for them, so let's add to the value for all of us. You've opened the door, you've used some names. And so you've kind of, you know, basically taken the stamp of approval implied from these people that are in your mutual connections, that let's extend again. And I found that to actually be pretty darn helpful when I've reached out to people to connect with. I will talk about who we have mutually connected, as well as an overlap in some of our interest. Oh, so that's the second thing. Sam, Bill, and Samantha have all got us connected, but we also have, or is it John, Bill, and Samantha, whoever. But we've also are in the same industry. We are rubbing into the same people, and I probably will be able to send you some opportunities that you'll be able to place candidates with as we go forward. So let's connect up now and see how we can help each other. So why would a recruiter not accept that? At least come back with a connection with you. Once you have the connection with them, now you can go back into your full sequence that we had talked about earlier. So that's the one of the ideas of how you can use particularly LinkedIn to connect with someone who's not yet into your connection tree within LinkedIn, but also that you were not able to get a introduction to, so that you can start a slight different version of the incredible sequence with. Okay. Now, a few people have wondered about, well, is there some other way we can get really on the desk? Because you hear about these, sometimes some crazy things that go out there. Well, yes, there is. If you've got some budget and you're willing to spend a little bit of money, there's a few things that you can do. And I'm not talking about a lot of money, but if it's around a specific job, perhaps you will do a good deal of money. But in the general sense, I think you can get by with this pretty cheaply. So what I'd recommend is that you pick up the ideas of what direct marketing has done. And you guys recognize direct marketing. You get mail. What sort of stuff shows up in your mailbox at home? Or sometimes at your work? Well, there's this concept in direct mail of lumpy mail. L-U-M-P-Y. L-U-M-P-Y. Lumpy mail. The idea is that it's something that's thicker than a normal envelope. And what it does is it triggers in everyone who gets this thick envelope going, what is in here? I gotta open it and find out. Okay? It's the prize in the jack-in-the-box box. We dig through the popcorn and the peanuts and we find our prize. Well, that works. It works incredibly well in direct marketing, which is why they spend the money on sending you something which is thicker and you want to open it to see what it is. Now, it also works on the negative side. You know, if you get a really thick, evenly thick envelope that it says something about attorneys on it, you're going to definitely open it. There's something good or probably bad, you're going to open it, right? So again, so attorneys also use a lot of lumpy mail to get your attention. But, you know, a lot of positive stuff comes out of it too. So now you're probably going, well, wait a minute, what am I going to start sending someone? Well, you know, look, if you do have a big report that you want to send and it's thick, that's going to get opened, all right? It's not just junk mail. It's something thick coming in. It's going to trigger this. Well, there's something in here. If it's this thick, they've spent, you know, it's a couple ounces. They've spent a little bit of money. Let me open it. And of course, you're using first-class postage for this too. Anyway, so that's a good thing you could do is you can just send along a report. Fold it in and get it nice and thick, and there you go. Haven't spent too much money, so you probably are spending around a dollar between postage and the copying costs, okay? And so you're now in talking to a recruiter directly with some stuff. I would even recommend that you do that a lot of times instead of doing the LinkedIn, because now you physically are in their space. You're on their desk. They're going to remember you. They're going to see it there. It's going to come back around. Whereas the LinkedIn is okay, they see it the day they see it, and then it's gone. They won't be noticing you so much again unless you do your sequence. But this kind of gives you that kind of that permanency. So sending them your articles or even a collection of articles, maybe not authored by you, is certainly, I think, helpful. Now, I have seen some other stuff show up. And you can look around and say, well, what can I send them in addition? You know, absolutely, you can buy little booklets of hints about something. I just got one that had the Bill of Rights on it around this summer during the 4th of July. It was the Constitution with the Bill of Rights and all that stuff. And, you know, that was kind of a great little direct marketing piece I got that, I noticed what the guy was talking about because he sent this to me. Was he selling anything about or have anything to do with the Bill of Rights or politics or governance or anything like that? No, absolutely not. His subject was entirely different, but it was the seasonality of the 4th of July. And that's what he said. How much did that book cost? Well, I immediately flipped it around, put the name in, did a Google search on it, and I found that I could buy these things for like 50 cents a piece. And you could even get them on Amazon. So you could buy like 10 of them and send them out if you wanted. So it was like, wow, how great is this? You know, again, the idea is to get the box, or rather the envelope opened, that there's something interesting here. And so that's the idea of a lumpy mail. You know, sometimes people send other things along. You know, I might even send something again around a holiday, a celebration, or something happens. I've been known to send all sorts of funny things in my career to people. I remember when we got some of our early contracts, the first time we crossed a few million dollars on them. You know, we made a big blow up of the purchase order. And I mean, this was like larger than poster size. So we got this very large thing and then went and got some decorations, sparkles and glitter and stuff like that. Picked up some sparkling apple cider and picked up a couple other things. Threw this all into a box and sent it off to a couple of folks, you know, just to celebrate what we had done. Well, it was really obvious. Wow, look what we had just sent. We made some accomplishments. Now, that is serious lumpy mail. That's not the dollar version. That's actually reaching out to somebody and making a difference. And, you know, we spent, probably $25 by the time it was all done with all the shipping and stuff that we did. But it was fine. It actually got us some reactions because we were clearly performing and they were obviously very targeted. It didn't have anything to do with recruiters. That's probably reaching out. But, you know, I probably would do something like that if I landed a job or, quite frankly, if I saw a recruiter got a position that that I could help them with or made a difference, I might very well, very, very well say, what can I send them to help them celebrate? Okay? Maybe I'd send them a dozen brownies from your favorite bakery or from one of the really good ones. That'll probably cost you $25. But if you're going to play the game seriously, that's one of the things you could do in a judicious manner. You certainly will get their attention. So that's taking lumpy mail to the higher level. And then, of course, you've heard the real extreme ones where somebody will send a shoe, for example. I've heard of that one where you just want to get my foot in the door, you know, a little gameplay and stuff like that. I don't know that that's going to work in this particular market. If you were a marketing executive, perhaps, but I think the rest of us probably should stay away from the tricky type stuff, but something that's about celebration and something over accomplishments and something that's related to giving them information, absolutely, and then to the third level, perhaps you could also do something that's just seasonal, just to kind of stay in front and get their attention if you want to do that. All right, so that's a lot working about how you can approach recruiters that you don't have an introduction to, which is basically you need to get their attention and then get them into the sequence that we had talked about before. All right, so let's move on over to, are there some questions? How's it going out there? Have you been able to get your 5 recruiters lined up and get started with? What's been the difficulty finding them? What's the results of your starting the sequence out? What I would like to do is help you out with one additional thing. I wrote that initial email, and I was showing you online last week with our last session about how to send that email. How about if I send that to you? I'm just, you know, modify it as you want, but I want to give you some of the words so you can kind of see how we paced through it and how it was working. Just call this a starting position. Now you might use it entirely as it is and, you know, just change your name at the bottom. That's cool if you want to, but I think if I were you, I'd go ahead and make it your own. Make whatever changes you can to make it so that it really becomes sounding like you. But you get the idea of what each paragraph is doing. Where one is opening the door, one is explaining who you are, another one's kind of praising them and making that connection stronger and giving validation to why the conversation's going on. And then finally kind of that call to action of, okay, let's set up and have a call or a contact. How would you like, so basically putting that out there. Okay. So I'll go ahead and send that to you. All right. Well, we're coming up here on half an hour. I have not heard anyone call in with some questions, so what I'm going to do is go ahead and jump on off. Let me just see if anything has come in via the email, because sometimes that's the way I do get things. So one quick look. All right, I'm not seeing anything on the email that's come in, so I'm just going to go ahead and give us a drop off. And look, we're going to have another session coming up here very soon, so look for the emails and the announcements as to where you can connect in and download the next lesson, and then look forward to other Q&A calls with you down the road. So thanks again for listening. It's been a real pleasure helping you find your next career and your move towards all the good stuff of being fully employed. So thanks again. Really look forward to talking with you. Bye-bye.